Father, thank you that we can come together this morning. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit guides us and is with us. Thank you, Lord, that, you bring us into all truth. Lord, in these days, it's so important for us to walk according to your way and not to let the ideas and the influences of the world affect us or impact on our way we live and the way we think. Lord, we just come before you today that you may help us as we are preparing ourselves for next week to start a new year, that you may guide us in receiving and appropriating the things you have done for us so that we may walk in victory and not pushed around by our circumstances, not under, but on top of them, Lord. We can raise up as wings, as eagles, Lord, above the whole things of the world. As your word, Lord, lifts us up and brings us to a place, Lord, in which we can receive from you. We can hear you and we can appropriate everything that you have done, Lord, that it may be manifested in us and that we may be able to be vessel unto honor, Lord, to be able to do the things that you're calling us to do. We just praise and thank you, Lord, for we know, Lord, that in you, Lord, we are more than conqueror. Lord, that we know, Lord, that in you, Lord, we can overcome any circumstance, that you are made us overcomers as we allow your Spirit to guide us, empower, and enable us to do the things you're calling us to do. That we may not look, Lord, on the right or to the left, but we look straight, Lord, in the path that you put before us so that we may be able to be the conquerors that you want us to be. And we just praise and thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I really feel that the next year, you know, there's going to be breakthroughs in people's life. It is a year that we had to learn to appropriate the things that God has done for us. See, God has done everything and is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to line up our thinking and to appropriate the things that he wants us to appropriate. He has given us his promises. The thing is that he's not the one that is holding back. Is we have to have different results. We have to have change ourselves. It's as we change that we can receive things. And so we had to see the things that God wants us to change, the things that God wants us to realize that need to be changed, and to take a position for those things, and to be stable, unmovable on the Word, because it's the Word that enables us. Everything is in there. Everything is in the Word. And we had to realize the areas in which, you know, we have accepted ideas that can sound really pious and religious, but they keep us bound because they are not in the Word. It's amazing how much men's thoughts are thought in Christianity that are not actually God's thoughts. And we had to learn to see the difference, to recognize what is from God and what is not. And, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, that we had to discern or we had to be able to see what is good and take it and to let go and leave what is not good. But to be able to do that, we had to recognize that. We had to know. And we had to, you know, redeem the time. That says in Ephesians, you know, redeem the times because the time is evil, because there is not much time left. Let's face it. And so we have to use our time in a wise way, not wasting time on things that are not good, that are not productive, and to focus on the things that are going to make a difference both in our life and the life of the people we come in contact with. To do that, we need wisdom. We need the direction of the Holy Spirit to show us things. And so I felt that, you know, the Lord was really directing me to start the year with a communion service to help those that have problems in appropriating things from God, okay, to learn to put their faith to work and to receive. You know, God has provided ways to receive for everybody. No matter what level you are at in your spiritual development, God has a way to minister to you. But you had to be cooperating with him and you be opened up. So I thought that, you know, one of the things that could help us is really the story of the woman with the issue of blood, which applies to both physical things and any other thing, because this, you know, in the spirit world, there is no difference between what is spirit, physical, what is mental, what is emotional, what is financial. Doesn't matter. You know, everything that is in this physical world has a spiritual component, has a spiritual impact. In itself is nothing. But the way we relate to it from our heart in our spirit makes a difference in the type of impact that it's going to have. And for this reason, we had to learn to operate in a spiritual way. But even if we are not really spiritually strong to be able to operate at the spiritual level that is not dependent on circumstances, you know, the Lord ministered to us anyway in us different ways and creates situations and, you know, ways to minister to us. Okay. And this is one of the typical examples. You know, this woman with the issue of blood was a Jew, evidently, but evidently, you know, she was trying to resolve her problem from a physical point of view, going to the doctors, doing two things, and the only thing that she got was that she spent all her money and was not any better or got worse. So, but evidently, you know, she had some characteristics that were good. One of them, that she was determined. I mean, she was not going to give up. If you consider the fact that she was, you know, considered unclean, and she could not go, according to the law, in contact with people or in public places, that if she would have been caught there, she would have been stoned. So, I mean, she got the courage to go there anyway and to, well, be able to reach to Jesus and to receive from him. Okay. That's quite something, I would say, that she was able to do. She was not born again, but she made a decision. See, that shows the importance of our decisions. The importance of when we make a certain statement and we stick by them, and they, you know, determine our position internally, in our heart. See, there is a difference between the heart and the spirit, but in the heart is where you take a certain position and you stay there. Okay. And she did that, even if she was not born again, even if the spirit was now recreated. All right? Not only that, but she, in a way, she was sinning because she was breaking the law according to their perspective. evidently was not God's perspective, but was according to their perspective, because, you know, she shouldn't have gone in public places, she shouldn't have gone touching people, she shouldn't have gone, you know, she shouldn't have been there in the first place. And she didn't even have the right to do what she did, because she had not the right to receive. Okay? So evidently, you know, that didn't matter. She made that decision and she went after it, and nobody was going to just get in the way. See, that's one of the characteristics of people that get results. You had to be determined and you had to be, you know, not taking no for an answer. See, when you are that way, you are going to get results. Because you don't get, you see, don't quit. You don't give up. You just push in until you get it. See, she controlled God's power through her decision. Wasn't Jesus healing her? She pulled it out of him. When she could do it, you think you should be able to do better than that? Unless you just give in, unless you give up before, you know, the things happen, you know, then unless you are looking at your circumstances, you know, she was getting worse, not better. I mean, she could have been there and says, I just, the way the wife of Job said, you know, well, curse God and die. Hello? She didn't do that. Okay? But the point is, she was not exposed to lots of teaching, was she? She wasn't there meditating, you know, all day and night on the scripture, was she? She just heard about Jesus. That's what the word says. And she said, well, I'm going, you know, the other one are getting it, I'm going to get it too. Even if one of them gets it, I'm going to be one, you know, the second one. Amen? Amen? See, that's what makes the difference. This is what we had to understand and take a position. See, we had to realize how we give in to the circumstances that we maybe are exposed to, maybe under. We should not be under our circumstances. See, you decide what's going to happen to your life. You decide to accept Jesus instead of not accepting it. And the impact of that is not just down here, but you're going to experience a difference down here too. But the impact is going to be eternal. I mean, it's going to be forever. Just by a decision. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, I hope that you have been thinking about this, and I hope that you have been preparing yourself for next Sunday. Because that's what you had to do. If there is anything in your life that you need a breakthrough, that's the way to get it. That is what is going to make a difference. You take a position, and you don't take no for an answer. You make sure that the thing you ask is according to the will of God. Okay? That's often there is a problem because people justify their request when instead it's really not necessarily the will of God for certain things. So you have to get the wisdom to be the things. But certain things, if you are sick, there is no problem. God doesn't want you to be there. God wants you to be healed. If you are, you know, in a difficult place financially or emotionally or anything else, God doesn't want to be there. He wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper. But, you know, maybe the soul needs to be prospered there. If you see where you are in your condition today is determined by what is inside you. And you had to be, you know, one thing is for yourself, but for others it's a different thing. Okay. But for yourself, where you are is where you put yourself through what you believe. Now, when we take communion, there is a point of contact to exercise your faith and to start there. So you had to make that decision the same way as this woman said, you know, if I just touch her garment, her, you know, the hem of her garment, his garment, you know, I'm going to be healed. You can make the same decision if you just, you know, when I go through that step and I take, you know, those symbols that are the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, these things are going, I'm going to appropriate all the benefits that come from what he did. And you make that as a place, a point in time in which you decide to receive. That means you make that decision that you say, it is mine. Now, you know, that is a decision of faith. Okay? I mean, you believe that what he did is enough to achieve what you need. That's what he said. It's not, this is not something that is, you know, far-fetched. It's just what the Bible says. So if you have the scripture on which you can base yourself, then you can say, this is it, and I take it now. That's why he established communion. We don't need to go through that. But that can help some people that need to the physical things to be able to receive and to have a place in time. So there is a time that you establish that, yes, I receive it. Well, what about, you know, the question come up right away. What about if I don't get it? Don't even go there. You see, you are starting to already to deviate from, you know, looking at the wrong thing and questioning the word of God. Did God say? Doesn't sound like the devil said talking to Eve. All right. So you just had to take that in the same, at the same level, in the same position. That's the temptation of the devil, and you can take a position against that kind of thinking that actually is going to rob you from the things that you are expecting to receive. Are you following me? You see, you take a position and you don't move. So, well, what about if I don't get it right away? Doesn't matter. You stay there until God comes through. But really, it's not God that comes through. It's time you come through. All right? So the idea is that you stay there. And you don't quit. You know, it took Abraham, and I don't, that may not sound too good. You know, how many years took Abraham to get what the God's answer, God promise was for him? All right. So you don't need to take 40 years. You are not Abraham. He didn't have a Bible. He has some serious problem. He was, you know, selling himself. I mean, tried to sell his wife, tried to do other things. I mean, you know, he wasn't perfect. And he did not have a Bible. He just had a voice inside telling him, you know, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. We have black and white on the Bible written, and there's a book that thick of all the different promises. There are thousands of them on which we can base ourselves that are much more solid than anything that comes into your ear. And they have been tested by thousands of people. Millions of people. So our position, and you're born again. He wasn't. I mean, can I continue to show all the different benefits that you have compared to Abraham, no matter who he was? See, if you're born again, your spirit, as the same, was recreated, And you have in yourself, everything is of God and is not somebody else. Now, your mind can be messed up. Okay, but your mind can be fixed. Like everything else. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Now, you know, Jesus said in Mark 11:23, and this is so important because, you know, this is a scripture that you know for sure, but, you know, we're going to read it and talk about something about that. It says, "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and that does doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, here, restart. You know, Jesus said, whoever, assuredly means, you know, you can be sure. That is like, it's like a promise, like establishing something that is true. Okay, it's not maybe. He doesn't say maybe if you say that. No, he says assuredly. For sure, you can expect that. All right? Starting right there. If you say to this mountain, now a mountain, do you think Jesus was using a mountain just in symbolic terms? You know, that they would say exaggerating just to make a point across? Do you think that God's power is able to move a mountain? Yes. Amen?
Yes.
So it's, you know, no matter, a mountain is big. Do you have a mountain in your way? All right, it can be as big as a mountain. Okay? So you should be able to beat it. But you'll be able to overcome it. All right? All right. So say, you know, believes in his heart and does no doubt, no, believe, be removed and cast down into the sea. And does no doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall be done, he will have whatever he says. So, you know, he does no doubt in his heart. He's not saying here does no doubt in his mind. It's a big difference between doubting in your heart and doubting in your mind. I mean, thoughts and ideas of doubts can come to your mind. But what is the position of your heart? You see, that's where you make that decision. You see, you make that decision is mine. I believe it. You see, that the heart is where decisions are made. So you say, this is it, and that's what I choose. It's a choice we make to believe rather than not believe. Now, it may sound completely crazy to your mind because it's not logical. Miracles are not logical because they are miracles. By definition, they are not logical. So your mind is going to rebel to the idea that that thing can happen at all. Are you following me? So the fact that the idea comes to you, that's not going to happen, doesn't mean that you had to take it and accept it within yourself. You made that decision and you stick with that decision. You see, the decision is the decision of your heart. Your thinking is your mind, and that doesn't count. Now, if you stay there, if the thoughts stay there and start invading your heart, then you got the problem because you are going to change your decision. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how important it is to make that understanding? Because somebody says, I'm going to believe God for this. And then suddenly the devil put a thought into your mind and says, well, you can't do it. And so, I'm in unbelief. No, you are in unbelief when you decide to believe what the devil is saying instead of deciding to believe what God says. See, that's the difference between the mind and the heart. That distinction is very important. Because if you don't understand that difference, then the devil is going to push you around and you don't know even what to do. You know, somebody said that, you know, you can get birds, you know, to fly on your head, but don't need to get them to put nets on your head. Put, stay there. Build a nest on there. Okay? Do you see what I mean? So that's a thing that you have to do once you make that decision next week. So you get ready to make that decision. Get the backing for all the scripture that on which you base yourself to believe God for those things. And make sure that they are still line up with the word of God. But when you have that position, then you can say, yes, I believe this word. And I stand on that. And I'm not going to move. And I'm going to believe with my heart and speak it out. Okay. He shall have whatever. He will have whatever he says. It doesn't say that you have it immediately, does it? It's plural. That means it's going to come. But you believe now before you get it. That's why you get it. Otherwise, you don't get it. You see, you made that decision first, and then you get it. Abraham made that decision, took a long time because, you know, was starting to, you know, find ways around because it looked so difficult and looks impossible. Okay? And try to fix it and mess up things badly. You don't need to mess it up. Jesus came to explain to us how to do it. Okay? But then you continue here. Verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you see now it comes, you see there are two parts here. First, you know, you believe that you have it. Then you ask. You know, whatever things you ask. So this asking means, you know, that you are verbalizing something. He said, whatever thing you ask, see, there has to be an agreement with your position and what you say. There has to be a lining up of the two things together, and you are not going to move from there. See, that's what faith is. And it says, and you receive, that you believe that you receive them. You see, believe that you receive them. The word receive them is lambano. We talked about that many times. That means you take it. See, receive doesn't mean you have it. See, when you receive something I give to you, you have to go and take it. Okay, so the word there is actually meaning that you believe that you are taking it. The very moment when you are believing, you are taking it. In the spirit realm, you are taking the things that God has promised to you and you make it yours. It's not physically yours. Yes, so you see, you receive spiritually the things before they manifest themselves physically. And so you had to take that position within yourself, and then you took it, and then you don't give it back. See, the very moment when you start unbelieving or believing that you didn't get it, that means you're giving it back. So the moment when you make that decision, you stand. You see, the decision is the decision of the heart, and your heart is not going to change. And you will have it. Okay? This is faith. That's what faith is. That's what appropriates God's promises. That's what enables you. That's your breakthrough. That's what makes a difference. All right. The only thing you have to make sure that this lines up with the word of God so that you actually have a basis to believe it. So how do you do it? Well, you know, the thing is you had to keep there in such a way that you don't change that decision you made inside. See, that's what makes the difference, because the things that are around you, they are going to influence you. The thoughts that the enemy is going to put on you is going to influence you and says, you know, are you really going to get it? Look, nothing happened yet. Oh, you're getting worse. Hello? You take that position inside and you don't move. And the way you do it, how do you get that position? Well, you know, Proverbs 4:20 talks very clearly about that. You know, you give attention to my word. You see, the word, it doesn't say give attention to the circumstances. Give attention to the feeling you have. Give attention to the thought that comes to your mind. You see, you have to start controlling the way it's going, your mind is going on. So, and by the things that are going to be around you, your senses and everything else, you take charge of that and you look, give attention to his words. Okay? You incline your ear to my saying, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. So you see, all the modality of our perception are affected here. The way you see, the way you touch, the way you know, anything that is there, you don't listen to things. You know, if you want healing, do not talk about somebody, you know, some preacher that talks about, you know, healing is to the past. That is putting poison inside your thinking, and you're going to start to doubt it. Hello? You keep away from them like the plague. If you don't, it's your problem. You put yourself in a place of temptation. Hello? See, this is why we have discernment on the truth and the lie, because the truth is going to keep you as the word. The only place is the truth, the word. There is no other truth. Other things can be facts. I mean, things can be facts, but they're not truth, because facts change. I mean, it could be a fact that you have a problem and that you have pain, or that the doctor says, you know what, this is something wrong with you. That's a fact. But facts change. The truth doesn't change. And the truth said, by stripes I was healed. So that's it. And you believe the truth, not the facts, because the facts tomorrow are different. Look at the picture of yourself 10 years ago and you see what the different facts you can see. All right? Are you following me? So you stand on the truth. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You see, that's the place that you had to look after. That's the place in which you make the decisions. You decide to believe what the truth is instead of believing your circumstances. If you believe your circumstances, you're going to be influenced by your circumstances. If you believe by the truth, you're going to be influenced by the truth. And your faith is going to work according to Mark 11, 23 and 24. See, all the modality of your perception are going to be, you have to control them. You are not exposed in any of your senses to the things that are wrong if you are fighting to overcome. And it says, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. The health there, medicine, you can use it. And so keep your heart with all diligence. As you're going back there, that's where your decision is. Make sure, be diligent, don't be slack. You cannot be slack and overcome. It doesn't even, you cannot be slack even in the world if you want to succeed. You have to work hard. Well, in this case, it's not physical work, it's the work that you had to do spiritually. Okay? So, keep you with all these, for out of it comes the springs, the issues of life. Really, you know, the thing that, you know, keep your eye with all diligence, put away all deceitful mouth. You know, the deceitful mouth is nothing else to say something is contrary to the word of God. It's not saying, you know, why? Because it's not the truth. If you don't say what the word of God says, you have a deceitful mouth. Why? Because God is the only thing that is truth. The other one are facts. And I'm going to go into that. Okay. It says, put a perverse lick far from you. Let your eye look straight. That means don't get distracted. Don't get looking all over the place. You know, the only place you look is the Word. And somebody that talks about the Word. If they're not talking about the Word, they're talking about their ideas, just put them on the side. Because they're going to take them along with you. Okay. And your eyelid looks right before you. That's the same thing. Just keep straight. Then says verse 26, ponders the path of your feet. That means consider what you are doing. Consider your walk. Are you walking by faith or are you walking by sight? All right? All right. And let your way be established. See, that's, you made that decision. You stand there. All right? Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So that's, you see, really what you're doing is you look what you're doing. See, ponder your path. You look at what you are doing. You ponder it. Am I in faith or am I not? Am I walking God or not? See, if you need wisdom, if you need, you need to go to the Word. So you asked God and you had to act it on faith. You don't waver. You had to learn not to waver. If you waver, you get nothing. James 1, 5, 5, 6 and 7. Okay, we're not going to go that. So, important point. You had to learn to monitor your state. Do you know what I mean with monitoring your state? You know, as you walk, are you like Peter? When Jesus said, come, and was walking on water, and you start yourself, you feel sinking, or are you floating? Are you floating or are you sinking? You know, that's very easy to determine. You can be theoretically think about different things, but actually the feeling, the physical feelings of when you are in faith and when you are sinking is going to be pretty evident, and it takes a middle of a second, a millisecond to affect you. You see, your thinking may take time, but your feeling are much faster. So you should be able immediately to say, I'm sinking. I mean, Peter didn't wait and do an analysis of his heart and his situation before he started to sink. I mean, it didn't take very long that the thing was starting to go down. All right? You are in the same situation. Are you following me? So you see, that's why you had to learn to detect, you see, monitor your heart. How do you feel inside? Are you sinking or are you floating? Do you know that you're walking in faith? You see, that's pretty simple. Okay? See, when you are in faith, you feel like a conqueror. When you are in faith, you feel that you can do all things. When you are in faith, you know that you can overcome your circumstances. They are not a big deal. When you are in fear, you are not floating. You are in there, you are not in faith. You see, you are not confident that God is working for you. If you go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, can you say anything?
Anything?
According to his will, that means, you know, if you don't know his will, you cannot have confidence. Hello? You see, that's a starting point. I mean, how can you have any confidence if you don't, I'm not sure about the will of God? So if that's what you had to determine, you better spend time before you take that position, before you try to get move anywhere. You know, sometimes asking the wrong thing, you know, it produces more problem than anything else. You had to know what you're asking. When you're asking the right thing, you have confidence because you know the will of God, and nobody, you know, say, well, how do you know the will of God? Well, you should know the will of God because God revealed his will in his word. And if you don't know his will, you have a problem about really relating to God. You cannot relate to God if you don't know the will of God. So the first thing, because before you even ask, is to know the will of God. Well, you know, by stripes you were healed. Jesus did it already. You know that if you need healing, that's the will of God. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper, is the will of God. So there is nobody that can change that. You know that that's the will. And if you ask any, if you believe any other things, you're really not believing what the word says. Hello? I mean, they may preach it, but that's not true. Oh, God is trying to teach you something. Baloney. God doesn't teach by that way. Find a place in which says that. The only place where you send that stupid idea is in Job, that he didn't understand anything and God has to correct him before he could fix him. Okay? So you better learn the will of God first. And so, you know, possibly that's why we had to spend time in the Word so that we know the truth and the truth set us free. That's the way the truth set us free, because we know it and we know where to stand and we know what to expect from God. So he said, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition or the question, the request that we have made ask of him. So, and the thing is, you know, we know. The word there is eido, which actually see, we perceive, we see, we are sure. You see, if we know the will of God, we are sure about what we can expect from him. Because if he is, this is his will, then the only hindrance for us to receive is ourselves, not him. He doesn't hold anything from us. We are the one that blocks him, the ability for him to work in our life. Hallelujah. And we know that we have, you know, we perceive, we are sure that we have the petition that we asked of him. I mean, that's a great place to be. Wouldn't you say? I mean, so you don't need to be there wondering, well, will God do it? You know, the devil comes there and says, well, what about if it doesn't happen? Don't even go there. Because you can, you know, it's the wrong thing to go there, because that is like the devil said to Eve, you know, did really God say that? When you know the will of God is spoken to you, is in the word according to the things that you already know very well, what's the matter about letting those thoughts come to you even that? Just cut them off. Do you know where they're coming from? Hallelujah. So, see, as soon as you start sinking, monitoring your state, it shows that you are actually looking at the wrong thing. You are listening to the wrong voices. You are exposed to the wrong people. So what you do, you just get into the Word. Just cut off anything immediately right there, and you get back to the Word, because you have to look where the source of the truth and the power come. See, everything goes back to the Word. Everything goes back to the Word, because the Word is the source of the truth. There is no other truth. You know, the feeling that I was saying, you know, monitoring yourself, are you sinking or floating? You know, it's, if in First John, generally that's not used this way, but I think that's good, can help. First John 4:4. Says we are of God, little children, and have overcome them, or the world, because he who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. I mean, God is inside you and is greater. I want to stress the word greater. I mean, bigger. You know, Wigglesworth said something that relates to that in a physical way. Okay. He said, I'm much bigger inside than outside. You know that what, you know. And really what he's saying is, you know, he was talking actually a feeling that we have. See, when there is faith inside us, when we believe, when we are in that position of faith, then we inside are bigger because God is operating there and makes us feel bigger. We can do all things bigger than what we actually can do physically. We can overcome all situations. So actually we are bigger inside than we can actually look like. So the scripture can help us actually to visualize or to translate the scripture, not theoretically, but in a practical way, in a real way, in the way we feel. It is telling us that He is greater than us. It is inside us, and we have to be conscious of that greatness. But as we connect with the Word, we are feeling that way. Hallelujah. See, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So next Sunday, you know, whatever you need, whatever need you have, whatever things, expect to get it. Be excited. Expectation means if you look forward with excitement about getting the breakthrough that you need. Decide what you want. And when you get it, that's the same as the woman with the issue of blood. If I touch by his garment, I'm going to get you. You, as you take communion, you are going to take that position, and that's the moment in which you get it. You receive it. You take it. Lambano. That's what communion is all about. That's why Jesus instituted that. It wasn't just to do a religious thing. It was to enable you to appropriate something on a physical way, because not everybody can do it in just an abstract way. See, that's not, you don't need to be, you can be a carnal Christian and be able to receive that way. Because you depend on the physical senses. But that helps you to move there from there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's the thing we have to do. So at the moment when you do that, what you do is you confess with your mouth, I got it. You believe it with your heart, I got it. It's mine. Hallelujah. And you read it. You are saved. That's Romans 10:9. Amen? You know, I want to read the scripture that comes after. Because we often forget that. You know, we often read this just one scripture instead of reading. Just, you know, generally, just read at least one more scripture. Because there's generally there is some truth there that we need to hear. And that says, after that, you know, after God raised them from the dead, you will be saved. So verse 10, for with the heart, whoever believes into righteousness, believe into righteousness, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So that's why important to actually say the thing. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. I mean, that's, you see what it's saying there, you can count on it. It's not a maybe. There is no maybe with God. There is maybe with men, but not with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you just stand there and receive it. Now we're going to make a confession to start with here to prepare ourselves from next week. Okay? You start. So let me say, you start with the scriptures. All right? You find out the will of God. You stand what you can believe God for. Then you start believing it and you start speaking it. You speaking it, how do you speak it? Well, you speak the what you want. You make that decision you said before, that this is mine, I want it, I take it. And then you start confessing it. And what you confess is really the scripture that you just related to. Relate to a situation. Instead of confessing your situation, you confess the answer. You confess the end, not the beginning. Not where you are, but where you want to be. See, that's what God does. He speaks the end from the beginning. If you read Isaiah. See, God speaks the solution, not the problem. When you pray the solution, not the problem. If you pray the problem, then you stay there. You pray the solution and things are to change. Oh, I'm a sinner by sin, by grace. Well, you're going to stay a sinner. You are a child of God, and you're going to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and you're going to overcome. Okay, so let's make this little confession here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I am an overcomer.
An overcomer.
Because I look unto Jesus. I am in the Word. Day and night.
And the Word
is working in me. Day and night. I am aware of what happens
in my heart.
I'm not distracted
by the care of this world,
by the deceitfulness of riches,
and by the desires
of other things.
I keep my eyes
and heart
and the word of the truth
with all diligence
stays in me.
If God is with me
and for me,
who can be against me?
Therefore,
I have no fear.
The Holy Spirit
gives me direction
and wisdom,
and I know what to do.
I'm not ruled
by my circumstances,
but I rule them.
I succeed
in whatever I do.
I have victory
in Jesus' name.
Therefore,
I have no fear.
The Holy Spirit
gives me direction
and wisdom,
and I know what to do.
And I'm ruling the circumstances,
and I succeed
in whatever I do.
I have victory
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's it. So you stand there.
I mean, this is, I said that, but this is nothing else as saying the scripture that we have been reading.
We've been sharing.
You take that position.
So next week, we are going to go through the communion service, explaining all the different steps that we take, and then
you apply to yourself what Jesus said,
what the word says.
In Jesus' name, amen.
See you next week. God bless.
Happy New Year.